Praise God. Enough's enough. Enough's enough. Our children are going to be the most blessed children, the healthiest children, the strongest children, spirit, soul, and body in the New River Valley. We need to say that over our children. Let's pray right now. Amen. Father, in Jesus' name, we decree and declare that the children of Christian Growth Center are blessed. They are protected. We loose the ministering spirits of God to go and surround them, protect them, lift them up. Father, we lift them up before you right now, and we call them protected. We call the Spirit of God to protect them, to defend them. The angels of the living God, Father, their ministering spirits around them, protecting and delivering them from any kind of evil, no matter where it is, what shape or form, but we call them blessed. We call them delivered. We call them strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. We call them filled with the Spirit of God. We call them saved and delivered to the uttermost in Jesus' name. And we give you praise and glory for it right now. Hallelujah, in Jesus' name. We got the best teachers for our kids. We got the best anointed teaching back there with our kids from at all levels. At all levels. Amen. And one thing, I taught kids here for 10 years. And it was so important, and I knew it was important, to get the word into kids on those Sunday mornings. But really, those teachers are just partners with the parents. Amen? So we speak a blessing over parents. Those who are here and not here, we speak a blessing over them to train up their children in the way they should go. And when they're old, they will not depart from it. That their kids, that those kids will see godly examples in mom and dad. Amen? Godly examples. They'll see the word lived out in front of them. They won't have to wonder, well, I go to church and I hear about this, but then I come home and there's a disparity here. No more. Amen? They're going to see Jesus in the morning, Jesus in the midday, and Jesus when the sun goes down. Amen? In their homes. Amen? Praise God. Parents, we're all given an assignment to portray Christ. Amen? We're all given that assignment. We are His witnesses. That's why Jesus told those early disciples, he said, go to Jerusalem, tarry there, right? Until you receive power, that you may be my witnesses. Amen? We don't go witnessing, we are witnesses. From the time we wake up and our feet hit the floor in the morning to the time we lay down, we are His witnesses. Amen? Praise God. You know, our families, our children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, they should hear of the goodness of God coming out of our mouth all the time. Amen? You know, I think of David. You know, here he was, a teen. You know, and, you know, all the army, Saul and all his army were sitting in the tents, shuddering in fear at Goliath. But this young teenager, what did he do? He had knowledge of his covenant. And we don't have an insight into his early life. But you know that young man fellowshiped with God. And he was aware of the covenant that he had with God. Because, you know, what did he do? He rehearsed before those grown men. He said, I killed the lion, and the Lord was with me. I killed the bear, and the Lord was with me. Amen? He said, this guy has no protection. The protection of the Lord is right here in the camp of the Israelites. The protection, and it's not just that the protection was there. There's one thing about knowing it here, but it's when it's coming out of here. He was convinced. He was convinced. You know, anybody can talk a big game before the fight. You know, you see these big, colossal, big prize fights, and they talk, and the media's there. But it's another thing when you get in the ring. When you get in that step into the octagon, and you're staring at your opponent from across the ring, well, you better be ready before you get in there, right? Well, when David stepped out there on that plane, he was ready. He wasn't faking it. Amen? He was ready. Amen? And then when that giant spoke, he spoke. And when that giant spoke, he spoke. And he kept speaking. Amen? He kept speaking. That's an example to us. We keep speaking to the giant. Amen. Amen. And then David just rocked him to sleep. Amen. Just rocked him to sleep. And the talking was over then, right? The talking was over. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Miss Wanda. Hallelujah. It's a good thing to come to church and get challenged, amen? To get challenged in prayer and in your prayer life, becoming aware and becoming awake. We need to be awakened. And the Word of God is here to quicken us, amen? It is our food. Jesus said, man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. We are spirits. We are a spirit being. We have a soul. And we live in this body. This body's our earth suit. Amen. So, being spirit beings that we are, Jesus said in John 6:63, he said, it's the spirit that gives life. The flesh profits nothing. It gets us around. Be going and being a witness. Amen. Shining light, being salt and light. But his word is our food. Praise God. And it'll change us. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, you know, the challenge of anybody that ever steps behind this, you know, is knowing where to start and how to put it all together. I mean, because the word, it's all good. From kiver to kiver, the cover to cover, right? Genesis to Revelation, 66 books, it's all good. Amen. And so a challenge of anyone stepping up here is, where do I start and where do we go? But I believe I know where we're supposed to go. Amen? But we do it by faith, a step at a time. Amen? And I agree with Brother Keith Moore when he said, it's more important to be led than be thorough. It's more important to be led than to be thorough. Amen? Because each one of us here and here has individual needs. And God has been working on us from the time we walked in that door. I'm going to say something about praise and worship, okay? Because it's been on my heart. And actually, in preparing for this, the Lord started talking to me about different things, different aspects of praise and worship. Maybe something different, maybe you hadn't heard before. But praise and worship is not ritual. It shouldn't be. And we shouldn't look at it as, that's what we do, we come to church, and that's the first thing, and then we do this thing, and then we do this thing, and then we go home. But the purpose of ministry here, through whoever, is to equip, is to train, is to exhort, prophesy, edify, exhort, comfort. And what that's supposed to do is supposed to change us. We should all leave here changed. And praise and worship, because Jan and I are involved in that. And thank you, praise team. You're such a blessing. We appreciate you. And appreciate the sound team helping us. Amen. Faithful people. Faithful people. The faithful shall flourish. Amen. The faithful shall flourish. But as I was preparing, what the Lord put on my heart to share with you today has, and the way I was looking at it from the aspect of praise and worship, is praise and worship is an integral part of our coming here, of our time of meeting with God. This is an extension of home here. Our gathering is an extension. We bring, sure, we go out into the world, we encounter, we deal with stuff all week, okay? And we come here, and sometimes we come here to get refreshed and refueled and refired, amen? Amen? But we also come to minister to one another, amen? And I see that all the time. I see people ministering to one another, sharing. When someone says something to you, don't take it lightly. Listen to what the Lord may be saying to you through that brother and that sister. Amen. God will speak to you. And I was listening to Bill Johnson just recently, and he was talking about how there was a person in his congregation a few years ago that came, and they had a word for him. And he knew this person had some issues in their life. You know, they weren't a prophet, or they didn't have a label, ministry label. This was one of the congregation. And he knew this person. And this person gave him a word. He said he knew it was from heaven. It was a word of knowledge. And it spoke right to him. And he had to repent. Because had he turned it off, he would have missed God. He would have missed an answer to his life. So we have to be sensitive to one another. Sensitive to the Spirit of God. Amen? You know, it's the old saying, a broke clock is right twice a day. Isn't that true? Twice a day. So it doesn't matter who it comes through, who the word comes through. Just be ready. Be aware. Be awake to receive it. Amen? So anyway, thinking about praise and worship, what I saw was praise and worship is it is to affect us. It is to prepare us. And what I want to talk to you today about is prospering in our soul. Prospering in our soul. And I know that man is triune, spirit, soul, body. And that order is correct because we are spirits. We have a soul, live in a body. But our soul, in 3 John 2, that apostle of God, who God gave the book of Revelation to, that we read today, amen, and those three epistles and the Gospel of John, he said, I pray, beloved, that you may prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. And praise and worship is to help you prosper in your soul. And what I saw was like a, you know, when you make cookies, especially like at Christmas time, you got the little shapes, you know, Christmas trees, stars, whatever. And you take, so God has got, he's got a die. You know what that means? He's got a pattern, okay? And our souls are malleable. They're moldable. Amen? Our soul, and if you guys remember a lady named Dr. Caroline Leaf, 2 or 3 years ago, she was on a Believer's Voice of Victory. She ministered a lot. And I've been listening to her some this week just in preparation, just going back and listening to some of her messages. And I tell you what, whew, it's amazing how God has made us. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. Amen? I mean, our brains can do some amazing things. But our mind, and the way she describes it, our mind, let me back up. Our, you know, we've been told, you know, your soul is your mind, will, and emotions. But she says it like this, your mind with your will and your emotions. So your mind is eternal just like your spirit, you know. And in Hebrews, we're told that only the Word of God can divide them. The Word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, able to divide asunder of soul and spirit, is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of a man's heart. Amen? And I read this one commentary, and this person said, we can divide spirit, soul, and body. It's easy, because the spirit and soul are eternal. We can separate them, because of what the scriptures say, to be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord. Amen? And so, but with the spirit and the soul, we can distinguish them, but we can't separate them. They work together. And the way Dr. Leaf compared is the soul is that middle part between your spirit and your body. And if we're born again, I believe we're all family in here. We're all home folk, kin folk. Amen. So the spirit, our spirit, infused and the house of the Holy Spirit, amen, God is conveying to us, to our soul, to our mind. And he will work through our mind, and we'll see his word flowing through our mind and out through us, animated, the body of Christ animated, working and doing what we do through the energizing of the Spirit to a renewed mind out through our bodies, amen. But what I saw concerning praise and worship is we sing these songs. And I was thinking of one song and I broke it down. And the Word of God was through it. Everywhere. We didn't sing it this morning, but we're probably going to sing it next Sunday. But it's through the whole song. And what that word, you know, sometimes it's easy when we're singing a song to kind of disengage, you know. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. You know, we're kind of bobbing and weaving and swaying with the song. But what it, let it do a work in you is what I'm saying. Let that let it impress you. Let it mold you. Let it fashion you. Do something. Because it's all to prepare you, not just for the word, but to prepare you for what's coming this week, next week, the next week. Because what we want the word of God playing in our minds. That's a renewed mind, is a mind that yields to the word of God and the spirit of God. That's how our minds, you know, when you're born again, you guys know this. You guys know this. When you're born again, it's your spirit that's recreated. Amen? Jesus said, John chapter 3, you must be born again. And we know that comes as an infilling of the Holy Spirit comes and lives on the inside of us. Amen? He's in there to do something. He's just not riding along. You know, we want him in the driver's seat. Amen? But we work, our spirit houses the Holy Spirit, and he's working with us to guide, teach, help us. Amen? So praise and worship is to make an impression. It's to make an impression in your soul. It's to cause your spirit to rise up and engage with those words in that song and let it renew your mind. Let it refresh you. Let it come over you. It's an engaging. It's just being aware of those things. Does that bear witness with anyone? What I'm trying to say? You know, I want God to make all the impression he wants on me. I want his fingerprints all over my life. How about you? Amen? So that when people see me, they see a different person. A different person. And I'll tell you, you know, if you go to any of Dr. Leaf's messages and her teaching, you know, there's so many things that as we allow the Word to God, it will change us. And it'll change us down to our DNA. She said years ago, 30, 40 years ago, scientists used to call about 3 to 4%, I believe she said, of our DNA was what gives us our makeup. She said the rest of it was just throwaway. They just called it throwaway DNA, I think is what she called it. Basically, it's just over here. We're using this much for our makeup, and this other stuff is just throwaway. It's just extra. It's not needed. But she said they've discovered not true. Not true. But that the Word of God, that DNA can be unzipped and you can be changed. You know, I think of in the Old Testament where it talked about the Spirit of God coming on someone and they were changed. They were like a different man. And that's what the Lord quickened to me, is that they were changed. There's something that happened. And, you know, I know for myself, 20 years ago, this wasn't possible for me. But God will change us. He will renew and restore our minds to think the way he thinks. And you know what holds us back most of the time is fear. It's that false evidence appearing real. It's this smoke screen that the enemy puts out there that he tries to terrify us with. But God has not given us that spirit, has he? He's given us a spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. A sound mind. A sound mind hooked up with the spirit of grace. There's nothing impossible. Nothing impossible. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We are spirit. We have a soul. We live in this body. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. If you want to got your Bibles, we can turn there. We can look at that. Praise the Lord. You know, the thing that led me in this direction about prospering in our soul, you know, that word, you know, where he's 3 John 2, he says, I pray that you may prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. Well, I saw that word even as, and I'm kind of curious, so I thought, what does that mean, even as? Well, I'm not an English major, but I went and looked it up. It's an idiom. And anybody who really, really top-notch English people, an idiom. Everybody say idiom. It's an idiom. But what that means, even as your soul prospers, is that as your soul is prospering, your body should prosper at the same time. They can work at the same time. There should be no lag. And your soul prosperity has to do with your physical prosperity. Amen? Brother Hagin, I heard him make a statement. I don't know if it was in a book or speaking, but he said, right thinking produces right believing. Right thinking produces right believing. And you know that's true. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Amen? Right thinking produces right believing. And if we're believing the Word of God, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And if any of you have ever done any reading or read anything by Brother F.F. Bosworth, he makes a statement in his book, Christ the Healer, that faith begins. It has a beginning where the will of God is known. You cannot step out in faith where God has not spoken to you and told you something. That's how David was able to face Goliath. He just didn't run out there and say, I'm David, I'm here, I'm bad, and I'm going to whip you, boy. No, he went out based on that covenant because God said, it is written. Isn't that how Jesus defeated the devil? It is written. That's the same. That's our pattern. It is written. God said, I believe it. I receive it. Amen. Praise God. For 1 Thessalonians 5:23. Praise God. I'm in Timothy. Excuse me. And the very God of peace. You know, that's an evidence that God's here. You know, when he shows up, he brings some good stuff with him, doesn't he? He brings a big old train behind him. And in that is peace. He is a God of peace. He said that he would sanctify you, set you apart wholly, completely. I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 24, faithful is he that calls you, and he will do it. He will complete that work that he began in you. Amen? And one of the places God is working on us is renewing our minds, causing us to prosper in our soul. Amen? You know, I guess many, if not all of you know, my dad passed away back in April. And that kind of led me to look into these things because there were some situations, and some of them are still ongoing, where there's pressure to make decisions. And, you know, you deal with the grief of a family member departing, but then you have pressures and you have people looking at you and saying things that aren't helping. And to say the least, I felt pressure in my soul. You know, when Paul talks about in his journeys and his mission trips about being pressed, he said we were pressed to the point of despair. That's real. He's just not being fancy and just adding, let's see, I'll think about, let's write this. You know, no. He experienced that. And he would, by the unction of the Spirit of God, was writing that for us. For us. so that we are, when we're tempted to despair, when we feel pressed, we can lean on the words of God. We can be like David said, I will run to you, Lord. You are my high tower. You're my stronghold. You're my shield. You're my buckler. You're my fortress. You know, in a fortress, there is provision. You know, the soldiers get hungry. You know? And so when we run into the Lord, He's our fortress. There's provision there. There's protection there. Amen? Praise God. So we are a spirit. We have a soul. We live in a body. But I felt pressed. And I noticed things happening in my body because of that pressure. And I know it wasn't God. Things can start happening. And I knew that because of that pressure, it was really affecting me. You know? And my wife will tell you, I mean, there was a week there, I could hardly move one, like this half of my body, my left side. And, but just because of stress and tension, things happening, things manifesting. And as I was talking to the Lord, He said, I just sensed Him saying, prosperity of your soul. Prosperity of your soul. He wasn't accusing me. Thank God. God is not an accuser. He's a helper. He was trying to help me. Hallelujah. So I knew I had to do something about it. Because my mind is my mind. It belongs to me. And I have a responsibility. Each one of us have a responsibility to what goes into it, what we think about, what we talk about, what we look at. Amen? And what goes in, you know, I remember years ago when computers were just starting, and I can remember, you know, people talking about, you know, computers, garbage in, garbage out. You know, and it's still true today. Bad software, I don't care if you got the greatest hardware in the world. Bad software, it won't work too good. I don't care what it is. So I have to put good things in. So I had to go back and refresh myself and feed myself on the Word of God. And it's a continual thing. Because your physical body gets tired. Everybody knows that. It needs rest. Amen? But so does your soul. Now, you can't lay it down and leave it there and let it sleep. But it can be fed and refreshed by the Word of God. What does the 23rd Psalm, verse 3 say? He restoreth my soul. He restoreth my soul. He refreshes me. You know, you're on that computer screen, and it's looking kind of crazy, and you're looking for that button up there, the little arrow that does this. So you go up there and you hit to refresh that screen so it looks good again, right? You got it doing what you want it to do. He restores our soul. Amen? He's refreshing us. Praise and worship, the Spirit of God is coming with His template to make an impression on our souls with His Word so that we are refreshed. Amen? And we're ready for the preaching and the teaching of the Word and whatever else follows, ministry. Praise God. He restores our soul. Praise God. Let's look at Romans 12, 1 and 2. And I'm going to read from the Phillips translation. I really thought this was good. Y'all are quiet. Phillips translation. Romans chapter 12. And verse 1 and verse 2 kind of flow together. I know you guys are familiar with this, but I just believe this will speak to you this morning. Amen. It's God's word. Amen. It's God's word. Romans 12, 1, he says, with eyes wide open to the mercies of God, I beg you, my brothers, as an act of intelligent worship, to give your bodies as a living sacrifice, consecrated to Him and acceptable by Him. Don't let the world around you squeeze you into its own mold. How many of you know when you go out into the world, there's some squeezing going on? I mean, some days you make home, you may feel like a lemon, you know, because you've been squeezed all day, you know? He said, don't let the world around you squeeze you into its own mold. But let God remold your minds from within. The Word of God, through the Spirit of God, ministering, molding you, not the world. Let God remold your minds from within so that you may prove. So as your mind is renewed, then we're able to prove, to live, to act out God's will, God's perfect, His acceptable will. He said, prove and practice. Everybody say practice. Practice. He wants to change us and prove and practice that the plan of God, the plan of God. You know, more than anything else, I believe every believer wants to know the plan of God for their lives. I'm telling you, you want to be right in the dime size center of God's will for your life. Because you know, when you're in that place, your soul will be satisfied. Because it'll be a resonation in your spirit. I am right where God wants me. There's a rest in that place. There's a peace that will come over you. Amen? A peace, a rest for your soul. Amen? Knowing, and that knowing, not in a gnosis, not in knowledge, but in an epignosis, 360-degree vision. You're looking around because the Spirit, He sees everything. He knows everything. And He can convey everything that you need to know right in the center of His will and His plan for your life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. But that comes through that renewing of the mind, that restoration of the soul, that template being impressed upon our minds so that we become changed. Amen. Changed to another person. Amen. Praise God. He said that your minds be changed from within, that you may prove and practice that the plan of God for you is what? It is good. It is good. And it meets all His demands. If we meet all God's demands, it's right in the center of His plan. It's in that perfect place, in that secret place where we're walking out His plans and His purposes. It meets all His demands. God will never require anything else from you inside His perfect will. Amen? But in that will, He enables you to do what He calls you to do. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Meets all His demands and moves towards the goal of maturity. Hallelujah. And who is that? That is a person. That is not a place. That's a person. And that's Jesus Himself. He is the head. He's the goal of our maturity. He's who we are becoming like. And the more we become like Him, the more we stay right in that center of His will. We won't deviate too far this way or this way. You know, it's like I've heard Brother Keith Moore say, Lord, I want to be so close to You and in lockstep with You that if You stop, I'm going to run into You. I'm going to bump into You. Because there's such a union there. Amen? And we can walk like that. But our minds have to be renewed. In that renewal of our minds, we receive those fresh downloads from heaven. We receive those fresh downloads from the Spirit of God. And our mind becomes open to the impossible things that he has prepared before time. He's laid it up. It's ready for you. It's ready for you right now. We just get in that perfect place, in that secret place, in that in the will of God, and we stay on it. And when we're in that place, we will become aware, and we will wake up. We will wake up. And I just want to say, you know, sometimes, you know, what Miss Wanda said, there's no condemnation. No condemnation. We all are growing. Amen? We're growing in grace. We're growing in our prayer life. There is no condemnation in Christ. We're learning. We're disciples. We're disciplined ones. We're following him, and we're growing up. Amen? Hallelujah. Y'all are quiet. My goodness, y'all. I know Brother Hagin used to say, he said, "Are you still here? Are you still here? Have you left?" Praise God. No, we're disciples of Christ. Amen. Praise God. All right. Hallelujah. We talked about the 23rd Psalm. Let's look at Psalm 103. I love this psalm. What about you? Psalm 103. Praise God. You know, we have to remind ourselves consistently, you know. We can't let our Bibles lay around and collect dust. You know what I'm saying? We've got to keep the Word going in all the time, because as we just read, don't let the world squeeze you into its mold, because it will. You know, I saw this guy's T-shirt one time several years ago. He was a Christian, and he just always wore these evangelistic kind of T-shirts, and he wore this one. And it, it was this big thing on, you know, and it was in this direction was fish skeletons going this way. And in this direction was a live fish going this way. And it said, "Only dead fish go with the flow. Only dead fish go with the flow." So I'm sure that touched some people that we worked with. You know, you can't miss it. When you're walking, you know, and you look and you're like, what? You know, here's skeletons, fish skeletons, and then you read the caption. Anyway, he always did stuff like that. Always. Amen. Okay, Psalm 103. Psalm 103. "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that's within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Forget not all his benefits." Your memory and your remembrance of things are going to be forever. That's in your soul. Do you remember the rich man and Lazarus? The rich man passed him by. Lazarus was begging. Jesus told this story. And it wasn't a parable. But he said the rich man died and went to hell. And so the rich man is calling from hell to Abraham, who was in paradise at that time. Abraham's bosom, as some call it. A holding place for the saints before Jesus unlocked it. And he led captivity captive on high. Amen. So this rich man who's in hell is calling out. He said, "Father Abraham," he said, "will you give me water? Will you give me something to drink?" And then Abraham had this conversation. He said, "I can't. There's a fixed chasm. I can't come to you. You can't come to me." He said, "I can't help you." And in that, he remembered his brothers. The rich man in hell remembered his brothers. And he said, "Can you send someone to tell them so that they miss this place?" And then Abraham spoke back to him. But the point is that his soul was there with him. His memory, his faculties to remember were there. But the redeemed got good memories, because we're bound for a good place. Amen. Hallelujah. Jesus said, "I go to prepare a place for you." If it were not so, I wouldn't have told you this. But I'm telling you because that's true. and it's impossible for God to lie. So he says, bless the Lord, O my soul, forget not all his benefits, who forgives all thine iniquities. Hallelujah. God's put it in remembrance. It's making an impression on our soul. It's renewing our minds that I'm forgiven all my iniquities, all my sins. God, I bless you. I remember, and I thank you for that. He forgives all my iniquities, heals all my diseases. Any dis-ease in your life, he has healed. By his stripes we were healed. Amen. Praise God. He redeems my life from destruction. Hallelujah. Going on a trip, y'all? My life is redeemed from destruction. I have traveling mercies going with me. The angel of the Lord camps around about me and delivers me in all my ways. He redeems my life from destruction, who crowns me with loving kindness and tender mercies. Hallelujah. Y'all see it? Can you see it? Can you see me crown? Can you see you crown with loving kindness and tender mercies? So next time you get up in the morning, when you look in the mirror, look for it. Look for it. That loving kindness and tender mercies resting on you. Amen? Praise God. Hallelujah. Who satisfies our mouth, my mouth, your mouth, with good things, so that our youth is renewed as the eagles. Praise God. Anybody in here over 50? Okay, you don't have to. Yeah, two hands there. Anybody over? Well, you get to, you know, when you're in your 20s and 30s, you don't probably think about that too much, you know. But as you get a little older, a little seasoned, you think, Lord, fill my mouth with good things. I praise you, Lord. And that's the word, you know. When you hear things, and I get to where, you know, you hear stuff on TV sometimes, especially all those drug commercials, I just mute it, you know. I'm just muting that. I don't need to hear that, you know. But he fills my mouth with good things so that my youth is renewed as the eagles. Amen? Praise God. Hallelujah. The Lord executes righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. Praise God. We're free from oppression. Amen? Hallelujah. So as we look at the Word and we speak the Word and we rehearse the Word to us, we take it personal and we allow it to renew our minds, to cause our souls to be refreshed, to cause our souls to prosper. You know, that word in 3 John there, he said that you prosper and be in health even as your soul prospers. Well, that word prosper means to expedite you on your journey. God wants to expedite our journey. He wants to help us get to our destination in life. And so that prospering of our soul, it's just like if someone said Godspeed as you go on your journey. Well, they're saying prosper in your journey. God wants us to prosper in our journey through life in that soul prosperity, being renewed in our minds. Amen? Praise God. So, hallelujah. We've talked about that. Praise God. And you know, there's so much scripture that covers all this. One thing, let's look at Hebrews 6:19. This kind of goes back to the need to be refreshed and strengthened. Hebrews 6:19. I'm going to read that from Phillips. That's what I had down there. Sorry. Hebrews 6:19. Y'all are there. I wanted to read the Phillips translation. It was good. And here, the writer of Hebrews is talking about, he's talking about Abraham. He's talking about the covenant God made with Abraham. And And he talks about how God, in that covenant, swore by himself. There was no one greater for him to swear by. So God took an oath upon himself. Because there was no one greater than him, you know. You and God showed up for a covenant meeting, and he's going to swear by himself. There's no one greater. Hallelujah. So it can't fail. The covenant can't fail. God is there. He swore by himself, and it's not going to fail. God can't fail. So he says here, verse 18, there are two immutable things which it's impossible for God to lie. Amen. We might have strong consolation, confidence, who have fled for refuge, to lay hold upon the hope set before us. Hope is that earnest expectation of good things to come. Amen? Praise God. And he said, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul. Our soul needs to be anchored. And it needs to be anchored in something, and it's being anchored in the faithfulness of God. Amen? It's anchored in that God can't lie. He cannot fail because God is love and love never fails. Amen? Praise God. So, what I want to take you to now, I have no idea how long I've been up here. And I'd be amiss. Pastor Todd wanted me to tell everyone. This is like the commercial in between. You know, Pastor Todd wanted to give everyone his greeting this morning, say hello. And he's on a father-son canoe trip with, I believe, with Levi. And so he said it's been raining, and more rain is expected. And I've done some canoe trips in the past. It's a blast, especially if it's on white water. But when you mix rain with it, not so much. But anyway, he sends his greetings and his love to his people, to Christian Growth Center. Amen. And I thank you, Pastor Todd, for this opportunity to minister to your people this morning in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. So what I want us to look at now is 1 Samuel chapter 30. 1 Samuel chapter 30. So God wants us what? Prospering in our souls. Amen? You know, when comes crunch time, we want to be ready. You know what I mean by that? You know, it's when you come into those situations where you want to be ready, that whatever you're called upon to do or whatever is needed in that situation, I guarantee you God's already there. But if in your soul you're not prospering, if your fallback, if your default isn't what did God say, because that needs to be every Christian's default, fallback is what did God say in this situation, and be built up in our soul so that we're prospering there. But we see here in First Samuel chapter 30. Hallelujah. First Samuel chapter 30. And it came to pass when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag and smitten Ziklag and burned it with fire and had taken the women captives, and they that were therein, they slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. So the Amalekites came and kidnapped everybody, burned the city, kidnapped everybody, husbands, wives, I mean, the husbands were there, but the wives and the children, and took some stuff, and they made out. Well, back then, normally what they did with captives like that was they became slaves. And it wasn't a good thing. It's never a good thing. So, anyway, so David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire. Say, burned with fire. You know, they say that when a person's home burns down, that's one of the worst things, you know, that as far as the trauma it can create when you lose so many things. Photos, things, keepsakes, things that memories in a home. And so these homes are burned down. Their homes are burned down. The city is burned. It's a terrible thing. Families are gone. Everything's gone. It's just a bad situation. And so behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and daughters were taken captives. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no power to weep. Now, that's a lot of crying. You know, those guys knew how to cry, and they knew how to weep, but they knew how to rejoice too, didn't they? They sure did. And so they wept until they had no more power or strength to weep. And it goes on and says, in verse 6, it says that David was greatly distressed. It's at pressing. Something has happened. It's weighing on your soul. And not only that, is it that your family's gone, but then all these men that you've been leading, they're all looking at you. And they got daggers in their eyes. And they got one hand on their sword. And they're thinking, it's your fault. We followed you, and this happened. So, David was greatly distressed, needless to say. For the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David did what? He did that default setting, didn't he? He went back to that default setting. What do I do in a situation when all is lost and it looks like everything's lost and everything's impossible and there's just nothing that can be done? In the natural, it looks bad. Whatever it is, he went back to his default setting because he had trained himself to do that. You know, in a situation like that, you either go back to the Word or you freak out. And he could have started begging for mercy. Don't stone me, guys. I'm sorry. I don't know what to do. You know, what are we going to do? No. He went to his default setting. He went to his covenant. He went to that rock that is higher than I. He ran into that strong tower. He ran into that refuge. He's standing there. He's looking at them. They're looking at him. They're thinking, stone him. He's thinking, he's having a conversation with God on the inside. You know, one thing Dr. Leaf was saying is that the front part of your brain can cause you to step outside and look at yourself. And I think, huh? But you can multitask that way. That's why you can be talking to someone and have a conversation with God at the same time. You can do that. We can do that. It's interesting. So, and when your brain, I'm talking about your brain can process, don't quote me, but I believe it's 400 billion times a second. It can process things that fast. You know, I used to think the speed of light, I remember one time when I was at Rhema, one of the instructors was talking, I was on the front row, and he was talking about things happening at a certain speed, and when he said speed, I'm sitting on the front row, I said, light? He said, no, thought, at the speed of thought. And according to what Dr. Leaf is saying, it far surpasses the speed of light. When you're talking 400 billion times a second, wow. So what does David do? He goes back to his default. He runs into that tower, that refuge, that his shield and his buckler. He did that by practice. He practiced it. It's what he did. That was his default setting. So he said, and David, verse 8, David, I'm sorry, I lost my place. Latter part of verse 6. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. He encouraged himself. You know, there's going to be times when we're in places when there's nobody there to kind of pat you on the back and say, you can do it. You can do it. And you really don't want somebody to say that. You want to say, if someone's there and they're with you, you want to say, let's pray. Let's look to the Lord. But he didn't have someone there to tell him, we believe in you, David. We believe in you. We know you got an answer. We know you hear from God. He had to encourage himself in the Lord. And so he encouraged himself in the Lord, and he got an answer. He heard from God, didn't he? He heard from God. Now, if he would have freaked out and tried to jump on his horse and ride away, they would have caught him. And they probably would have stoned him. Because they were upset. They were tore up from the floor up. And so David inquired, I'm sorry, back up the seven. And David said to Abiathar the priest and this other guy, I pray you bring me the ephod. And Abiathar brought the ephod unto David. And David inquired at the Lord, saying, shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he, the Lord, answered him. He said, pursue. Pursue. And as you know, the rest of the story, they got back everything. 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 God had an answer. But he had to get back to his default setting. I run to the Lord. When something happens and my mind wants to go tilt, run to the Lord. Put the word in you so your soul is renewed and your mind is restored. And so that when the pressure's on, when things happen, and your mind wants to just kind of go places it shouldn't go, and then fear wants to come in. I remember one time years ago, I was spending a night with my grandparents, and I wasn't used to staying over there, so I wasn't used to different sounds at night that occurred at their home, because they lived out in the country on a 25-acre farm. So I remember laying there in the middle of the night. For no reason, the dog starts barking. Well, I'm thinking, what's that? Why is he barking? Is there somebody out there? I mean, your mind can just go and just go off on a tangent. But I had to get control and pull it in, cast down that imagination. Amen? Because fear is real, and it'll try to grip you. But we have to take those thoughts captive into the obedience of Christ. Amen? Casting them down. And we have to run into that secret place. Run to that rock that is higher than I. To that refuge. That place where God has us. He has provision for us. He has a word for us. He has an answer for us in every situation, no matter what it is. Amen? No matter what it is. Praise God. Won't you stand with me, please? Hallelujah. We're going to receive the offering at the end. And but let's pray. And I'm going to have announcements as well. But we'll pray. Hallelujah. You know, all of us encounter situations where we're going to have to run to God. And that's not a sign of weakness. That's a sign of strength. That's a sign of strength. And when we run to Him, and I think I maybe shared with a kids' church years ago, but you know, some of my most powerful prayers have been help. Because that's when you're just most honest with God. You know, you don't have this preformed prayer that you just kind of pull out and use. You just say, Lord, help. And He will. He's there. He's ready. Amen. Praise God. Well, Father, we thank You. You're our helper. You're our strength. And You're helping us, Lord, to restore. Lord, You said to look to You, that we would renew our minds, that You are the good shepherd, and You care for Your sheep, and You restore our souls. Your word is our food. Your word is our strength. Your word is our comfort. Hallelujah. Praise God. And Father, we know that You have good things for us. Father, I thank You that You help us to be doers of the word, that, Father, we would be proactive in putting Your word in our hearts and putting Your word in our mouths and speaking it and renewing our minds, Father, because our mind is our mind. And we have a responsibility, Lord, to renew our minds to Your word, to Your truth. And we give You praise for it. Father, we thank You, Father, that there were answers today for people. There were solutions to problems, answers to questions. We thank You, Father, that You will continue to speak to us along these lines of these things, Father, and we thank You for it. We give You praise. We give You glory and thanksgiving for all these things in Jesus' name.